Let us bow our hearts before the Lord and ask him to bless his word to us. Let us pray. Father, we do pray for hearts like we have just sung, that we would truly love your commandments, and you would grant us your grace to also live by them. We pray, Lord, grant your spirit to us now, that we all, each one of us, would worship you by hearing what you are saying to us, what you are saying to us through your servant. So we pray for your spirit to guide your servant to bring to fruition his preparation studies, that first of all, you would be glorified and honored and exalted, and you would also grant your blessing to us in the hearing and in the work of your spirit to the doing of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name and the forgiveness of our sins in him. Amen. As you see in the bulletin, we're going to read scripture from three places again. First, we'll read what includes our text in 1 Peter 4. So if you look up 1 Peter 4, and then related to this is also some verses in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. So 1 Peter 4, 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. Our text for the sermon is 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. We'll read 7 through 11. So let's hear God's word first by reading 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 7. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's word. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have a fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, let's read in relationship to our text from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 21. Continuing on and reading God's word, 1 Corinthians 12:12. As the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And then finally in Romans 12, we'll read 3 through 8 there. Continuing on and reading God's word, Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Thus far, our reading of God's word, may he bless it and also bless the proclamation of it. Dear brothers and sisters, beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as part of our preparation for the Lord's Supper, Lord willing, next Sunday, this morning the Lord reminds us that the Lord's Supper is a picture, a God-given picture of our communion in Jesus Christ. And that as we are in Christ, the Lord's Supper is also a picture to us of our communion with one another. Obviously, at the Lord's Supper, we're called to remember the death of our Lord Jesus. However, there is a reason why we do this as church. We confessed about that earlier in the WCF, that the Lord's Supper is to be observed in his church, and that Jesus has appointed his ministers to administer the Lord's Supper. And you see, that's because, think about it. Why? Why do it as church? Well, it's because our Savior gave his life. He suffered and died for the body, the church. We didn't read this in our scripture reading. I thought of it, but I thought, well, we're already doing three different passages. But in Ephesians 5, just that chapter alone, just think of this. In verse 25, Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. In verse 29, Christ, this is Ephesians 5, right? In verse 29, Christ nourishes and cherishes the church, his body. In verse 30, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. If Jesus Christ died for you, that's very personally true, only because he makes you to be part of that body. So we celebrate the Lord's Supper, not as individuals, not even as families, but as church. In the Lord's Supper, we show, we see, and we declare that we are members of Jesus Christ and we are members of one another. Our scripture in 1 Corinthians 12 is a very central and important passage about that. We read it, how there are many members in one body. And in fact, it makes it so clear, we can never properly live as Christians without other members of Christ. No member can say to others, I have no need of you. If you are truly saved in Jesus Christ, then you are one member with others. You need others, and others need you. And brothers and sisters, we show that by our eating and drinking together at the Lord's Supper. Lord willing, next Sunday. And well, yeah, it's all very nice to say that and to believe it. But brothers and sisters, this also has to be part of how we live and we act toward one another. This morning the Lord reminds us and he calls us once again to live a life of service to others, especially those that we are united together in the church. So our theme is, each believer shows fervent love to the church and brings glory to God by faithful service. We read, it's just before our text in 1 Peter 4, in verse 7 and 8. We read, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. And then our text describes one part of this love for one another. And that part is service in our text. See, here too, just like we saw earlier in the law. Here too, love is an action. It's not, first of all, a feeling. So let us see in our first point, each believer has the resources to serve. Verse 10 in our text says, each member is given something so that each one has what he needs to serve. There is no excuse for not practicing love for the church. You and I have what it takes. You notice verse 10 says, as each has received a gift. It does not say if you receive a gift. It doesn't say when you receive it. It says as. So none of us has a reason for not serving others. And that gift, that word, is the word, it probably doesn't matter, but it's the word in Greek, charisma, which literally means a thing of grace. That's what charisma is. It's a thing of grace. That's given to each one, it says. It's not just given to so-called certain or special people. And it's so important to understand this. The gift, this thing of grace, according to the Bible, it's simply an ability to do something. One example is in Acts 9, a lady in the church, Dorcas, she served by making clothes for those who needed them. That was her gift, and that's how she used it. So, it's not a matter of, do I have a gift? You do. If you are a member of Jesus Christ and of His church, then you have a gift. You have an ability. And the gift, the ability you have, is given to you for you to use for the church, for the sake of the church. And I think it's quite obvious there are many kinds of gifts or abilities that members are given. In Romans 12, we read, all members do not have the same function. That's referring to those gifts. Verse 6 says, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, this is important to think about because it has been common in churches to get people to find your gift. I've even heard of churches having Discover Your Gift conferences. And from some of the looks on your faces, maybe you've heard of that too. Well, we can't avoid this. The Holy Spirit through Peter doesn't even give any list of gifts here. He does mention a few, and we'll refer to them later, hospitality and speaking, which is preaching of the word. But it seems that Peter, by the Holy Spirit, is not very concerned that true believers won't discover their gifts. And yeah, there are some lists of gifts in our scripture reading in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, which we read. But these are not, a complete and final list as if, you look at this and then you pick out which one of these is yours. In fact, you need to think about this. In 1 Corinthians 12, it mentions some examples Because it's teaching against the misuse of those gifts. There was jealousy and there was pride that arose in the practice of some of them. And in Romans 12, which we read, it gives some examples there, basically simply to show that we are serving God in using these gifts. So we're told in verse 3 not to think too highly of ourselves, because we're supposed to see that we serve God when we serve one another. And we'll see some of that more in our third point. Also, brothers and sisters, the common problem is that gifts, abilities, are often, they're kind of graded. You know, there are some that are higher, and there are some that are lower. And obviously that tends to pride, and it tends to bring disunity. And we need to see that God doesn't think like that. He doesn't see things that way. He gives resources. He gives abilities to each one. And we read in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, he does that just as he pleased, because he put each member in the body as he pleased. So each one is called to serve others with the ability and the resources God gave him. If you really want to know what your gift is, then simply serve others. Look for ways you can help others, or you can be of service to them. And you see, it's in that path of service that God will show you how much he's given you. So yeah, in a sense, it is proper to ask ourselves, what gift do I have for this body, for this church? But when you ask that, the answer isn't going to come to you through introspection, you know, by looking at yourself, looking within yourself. The answer to it will come, in other words, you will discover your gift as you serve others. It's like so many other things in our lives. We can spend more time and energy in talking about it and in wondering if this and if that than we spend time and energy in actually doing it. And it's the same with our service to one another. We can spend so much time in looking at ourselves, maybe feeling sorry for ourselves, putting ourselves down, comparing ourselves to others, or thinking too highly of ourselves. And it all takes away from time and energy that we should put into actually serving. Doing what our hands find to do for one another. And it's also true that as we serve, as we are faithful in little, we receive other gifts. We receive more gifts, abilities. In other words, we grow and we develop abilities we never had before. You only do that as you actually give yourself to doing things, to serve. Our text in verse 11 says, if anyone ministers, and that's the word serving there, do it with the ability God supplies. See, in whatever you find to do, in whatever you are called to do it with God's help. He'll help you in it. Never forget, you have all the resources, you have all the abilities you need to serve. If you are a believer, God has given you a thing of grace, something to use for service to the body, to the church. I know. It's so easy to feel, you know, put down, because maybe what we are given and what we do for others, many don't see it. So we feel kind of useless. But dear brother, dear sister, young people, all of us, we all need to remember. This is very important. We need to remember. Not one member has anything that he has not first received from God. Did you hear that? Not one of us has anything that we first didn't receive from God. So if someone has abilities that you don't, or if someone has abilities and everybody else takes notice of it, you have to see, that's okay. God has given him that too. It's as God pleases. And remember, God sees and he knows what he has given you to do. And he's the one, ultimately, he's the one who is able to give you a blessing in serving others. So it really doesn't matter if others see or know how you serve. God does. That's what's important. Well, let's go on to our second point and see that in God giving you something, then you and I are also responsible to him for what we do with that. So our second point is each believer has a responsibility in service. The Holy Spirit, through Peter, especially mentions two gifts. We mentioned them earlier. The one is hospitality. It's in our context for our text. It's in verse 9 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter. And it's also mentioned in Romans 12 and verse 13. I've heard that some say that believers really don't have this responsibility anymore. After all, we have restaurants, we have hotels, so there's no need for hospitality. But if you have received hospitality in the name of Jesus Christ, you know how important hospitality is also today. There is a quality of being together in a Christian home that you can't get anyplace else. And also, of course, we can practice hospitality as church by welcoming visitors to be with us, to make them feel welcome, to welcome them to eat with us, and so on. Yeah, God has given us food, and he's given us homes to share with one another, and also to share even with strangers. We read it for law in Hebrews 13, do not forget to entertain strangers. And that's under the caption, let brotherly love continue. So that obviously includes those who would be visitors at church and who are unknown to us. You know it. In the Old Testament, many things are said about the stranger and the alien and how they're to be cared for by the covenant people, by the church. They are sent by God to us, and God has his purposes in it. So we are responsible to him to also show hospitality to them. It's our duty. It's our love. The other gift that is specifically mentioned in our text in verse 11 is speaking, which is preaching. And yeah, that too is a gift. The Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, wrote about this to young Pastor Timothy. Just quick examples in 1 Timothy 4:14, he writes, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Don't neglect the gift that's in you. In other words, you are responsible. In 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift of God which is in you. Basically, get to work. Serve. Yeah, the gift of speaking or preaching, that obviously is about office as a minister, as a teacher in the church. And he is responsible, yeah, not to preach his own ideas and opinions, but as it says in our text in verse 11, the oracles of God. That word oracles means the revelation of God, the word of God. So we've seen this in other sermons recently too. All preaching, all teaching must come from the word. And the one who preaches, he is to remember. God speaks through him, and he is responsible to God. And he shows that by being responsible to his fellow elders. But you see, the very same truth is relevant for all of us in our serving. It's not just about office bearers in the church. It's about each member. God uses you and me to do what he has given us to do for others. And you and I are responsible to God for how we do it. We have to answer to him. Our text in verse 10 says, minister, again, serve as good stewards of the grace of God. A steward is literally a manager of something that he or she is given. In other words, a manager of the gift. And here it says that we are to serve as good stewards. So, think of the context. Before our text in verse 9, be hospitable to one another, it says, without grumbling. Obviously, giving hospitality and then grumbling about it, that's not being a good steward. Not being a good steward of what God has given you. Again, you and I are responsible to God to be a good steward. So remember, everything we have is what we've been given. And when those things are given to believers, it's out of God's grace. It's undeserved. But maybe we forget this, that receiving grace always comes with responsibility. Receiving something undeserved comes with responsibility. We have to answer to God for what we do with the gifts, with the abilities that he gives us. In fact, another way that we could think of this biblically is that, brothers and sisters, as you have something by grace, you should realize you never lose when you use it. When you use it according to God's will and his commands. That is, you never have less when you give of what God has given you. Because he's given it by grace. And he's always able to give you more in that same grace. So you never have less. You know, you can think of the example of hospitality, just as one example. Be generous with what God has given to you. Be hospitable to others. You don't get less. You don't lose in that. It's so important to see. In all of this, how God brings together all the varieties of gifts. That's why, in fact, in verse 11 of our text, we read, do it with the ability which God supplies. That word supplies is a very special word. In fact, it's only used twice in the New Testament. It means literally to bring together. So it's with the ability which God brings together. You know, the idea is like in an orchestra or a chorus. See, so it shows the purpose God has in each one being responsible to him. Just like a conductor of an orchestra. God brings all the players together, members, so that there is a wonderful sound and a harmony. But it comes all from all together. If you listen to an orchestra, the greatest thing of it is they're all together and they make the sound together. That's the body of Christ in terms of the abilities God gives. So you see, in this there is harmony in the church as all together use what God gives each one. The unity, the harmony in the church comes as each member is faithful in service. So let's also see our third point, our last point. Each believer has the same goal or purpose in service. Dear brothers and sisters, children, young people, the thing about serving the church, the body, the thing about your and my gift, it's not about you or me. And it's not about being important. I have often heard and I've seen how churches try to get others involved so that each person feels like they have a place, so they feel like they are part of the church. And in fact, that's how cults and false churches increase their membership. But you see, this is still thinking in a self-centered way. It's still teaching a service for what I get out of it. A service that makes me feel good about myself. And the thing about service, the thing about the gift that God gives us, is that it's all about glory for God. It's not, first of all, about making me feel part of it. In fact, verse 11 of our text says that's a purpose clause, okay? That in all things God may be glorified. So God gave us our gifts, our abilities, for His glory, not for our own. And we use them and we serve them so that He gets the glory. And our text there in verse 11 goes on and says that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now think about this. What could that mean to say be glorified through Jesus Christ? What could that mean in this context? Well, there's a truth here that's very humbling. Our service to other members in the church, it is the work of Christ in us. And it is His way to be serving them. Did you hear that? That God may be glorified through Christ. That means that our using of gifts, our abilities in serving others, is the work of Christ in us. And it's Christ's way to serve others. If we really see that, then it no longer matters if others know what we do. Because our greatest heartfelt desire should be that others see and know that God is giving them what they need. Right? The point is that each member does his or her part of what God gives them to do. They do it out of care and love for the whole body, and that's how God is glorified through Jesus Christ. Because it shows the result of salvation in Jesus Christ. So to repeat, your service, your love in action, shows the work of Christ in you. It's the fruit, it's the evidence of the fact that Christ has saved you. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, congregation, yes, at the Lord's Supper we remember the death of our Savior. And we confess that He died for us to make us together His body. But He also continues to work in us by His Word and Spirit so that we really live and we function as a body. Where we each one see that we need others. And each of us see that others need us. People often ask, what can I do? Or even worse, they ask, what do I need? In a real sense, both of those are the wrong question. It's still too self-centered. It's too much about me. Instead, we ought to ask, what do others need? Look around, see what is needed. And obviously, it doesn't mean being a busybody in other people's lives. We heard about a little bit about busybodies last Sunday. It just means looking for what needs to be done. And don't look for the big stuff to do always. Look for the little things that need to be done. You'll be surprised how much is needed. And yeah, maybe the real problem most of us have is not that we don't know what is needed. The real problem is we don't really want to do the little things. And most of us know we can't do the big things. And that's why we don't serve. We don't minister. And that's why it's very common that most people end up doing, the fewest people end up doing most of the things. And when that happens in the church, brothers and sisters, that's a sin. That's a sin. It's sinful because in not doing what we can, even in the small things, we are not glorifying God as we ought to be. So may we all take it. Be clear about it. Service in the church is not an option. It's not as if, well, there are some people who like doing things and there are others who don't really like that. It's very clear in our text, which is God's word. Each one is given gifts. Given things to do, to serve. God makes sure each one has something to give, to offer. And so also each one is responsible to do that something. So may you and I, and may we together as the body of Christ, may we grow in our service to the church for the glory of God. And as we are committed to that, we come together at the Lord's Supper, Lord willing, next Sunday. And our Lord uses the Lord's Supper to strengthen us in our fellowship with Jesus Christ, but also to strengthen us in our fellowship with one another. I pray we always think on this. Christ's death brings us together as nothing else can. Amen. Let us pray. O Father in heaven, we have heard your word and we realize how easily we fall short. But in preparation, we sang about loving your commandments. And we ask you to speak to us. Father, as we cling to your truth, as we cling to your commandments, we have victory over the enemy. Not merely as an isolated individual, but together as a body, as a church. So may we not think lightly of that harmony and unity that you bring in the church as we all give ourselves to serve in what you have given us to do. And we are not responsible in an ultimate sense to one another, but to you. For this is how you maintain us as a body. So we pray, as we have heard, that you will cause us to grow in our service, in finding out what you want us to do to be of help to one another. Maybe it's behind the scenes. Maybe others don't even know it. But Lord, give us hearts to see it doesn't matter. Because you know and you are able, you are alone able to fully bless us. So we pray. May your word accomplish the purpose you've given it to us here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.